Okay, it's 4 o'clock. Let's call the meeting to order. If you're a guest with us tonight and you haven't had a chance, would you please sign in so that we know you're here? we need a roll call, please.
Steele?
Here.
Wendt?
Here.
Couser?
Here.
Miller?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Cable?
Here.
Donaldson? Absent.
Okay, are there any changes or additions to the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. Agenda is approved. Approval of the minutes. Any changes or additions to the minutes from March 4, 2015. If we have no changes or additions, the minutes will stand approved. And we're on to public comment. This is a time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters that are not scheduled to be on the to be heard before the Planning and Zoning Commission tonight. Anybody here with general comments or an issue they'd like to raise? Okay, great. Then we're on to new business. We have CUP 02-15 Bedding Field, and we'll turn that over to the staff for the presentation.
Hey, good afternoon. This is regarding case 02 of 2015. We actually were supposed to have one before this, but they've been delaying, so that's why we're on 02, even though this is our first conditional use permit of the year. Property ownership of J. Weston Benningfield. It's in the northeast quarter of the southeast quarter, section 14, Nevada Township. 3.85 acre property classified as residential, contains a single family dwelling as well as pasture land, and it's an agricultural conservation portion of our land use framework map. Here you can see the surrounding property owner map that was mailed to all surrounding property owners within a quarter mile of the subject property, which is there highlighted in red. Basically, where this is located, south of Highway 30, as you can see there, about halfway in between Nevada and Colo. The request is for conditional use permit to allow for kennel for dog boarding, daycare, and grooming services. This is our first conditional use permit that we're looking at regarding kennels. It used to be that kennels were allowed just as a accessory use in the A1 zoning district. And about a year ago or so, it was moved to our list of conditional uses. The kennel would be housed in a proposed 42-by-52-square-foot building that will have 15 dog boarding rooms for overnight stays and a large indoor play area and a groom room. And again, kennels are allowed as a conditional use permit in the A1 zoning district. There's a proposed site plan kind of zoomed into the property. North is up. You can see 248th Street, which is actually going to become to the west, there is going to become a dead-end road because there's a bridge there that's going to be taken out of commission. And they just recently obtained new access there just off of 248th. So you can't see the actual driveway, which is already in place. We'll see a picture of it here shortly. Parking lot, proposed parking lot just south of that driveway, and then the proposed building there, approximately 90 feet from 248th Street. You can see how they've already begun dirt work for the proposed use. Again, there was, you know, kind of as we transition from this use as a principal permitted use, accessory use in the A1 zoning district to conditional use, the applicant was informed one thing a year ago when they first came in during the planning process and then came in to actually obtain the permit and were informed they had to go through this conditional use permit process. So that's kind of why they've already begun dirt work here, which is perfectly fine. We don't require grading permits in unincorporated Story County. But here you can kind of see the pad and just south of their or west of their house there, and that's looking approximately due east. Here you can see the property to the north across 248th Street, the pasture land that's there just to the right of that picture, if you will, to the east. is that single-family dwelling that their neighbor to the north. And here you can also see that new access drive that they just placed in, which they did obtain a permit from the county engineer for. Looking down to the west on 248th Street, you can see the sign for the bridge that's just approaching the creek there. Can't recall exactly which creek, but that bridge is currently out of commission, will be permanently taken out of commission here in the next several weeks by the Board of Supervisors. And this is from that driveway access looking southwest. You can see that there's significant amount of tree cover buffering their property from the property to the north. Applicable regulations, as with all conditional use permits, we look at these following standards of approval. Look at compatibility, transition, traffic, parking and loading, signs and lighting, environmental protection. And that's the board, Planning Zoning Commission, recommends to the board, and they concur that those standards are met, that they shall approve said conditional use permit unless they conclude if completed as proposed, there is a strong probability that the development will not adequately safeguard the health, safety, general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property, impair an adequate supply of light and air to surrounding properties, unduly increase congestion in the roads or hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers, diminish or impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property, and not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the land development regulations or county development plan. Staff's analysis and comments regarding those standards of approval. The proposed 2,200 square foot building will be fully enclosed, steel sided, machine shed style structure similar to many other agricultural buildings in the immediate area and throughout the county. There will be an enclosed outdoor runway for the dogs, but that portion is located to the south of the proposed structure, towards the interior of the property. So essentially, you know, the sound that may be created from dogs with this use would be directed away from the immediate property to the north. The property is surrounded by agricultural land, except to the north, which is buffered by 248th Street existing setback requirements. And I will also note significant amount of tree cover during my site visit I experienced. And while the property is to the north is classified as residential, a majority of the property is being used as agricultural pasture land. The residential portion of the neighboring property is 200 feet from the proposed structure. Both of those properties are zoned A1 agricultural. Ingress and egress is provided through a new driveway dedicated to the proposed business off 248th Street, as we've already seen. The kennel as proposed will do little to impact the minimal traffic conditions on the road. The applicant has plans to install a sign on their fence in front of their property in the future. They shall obtain a sign permit at that time for that sign. The proposed use should have little, if any, impact on vital environmental resources in the area beyond which is already permitted on site. All animal waste will be naturally composted on the site, as the applicant has noted in their application. Notifications, including surrounding property owner maps, as well as publications in the county newspapers, were sent in accordance with our ordinance. And a recommendation for this conditional use permit, based on our analysis, is that we recommend approval of the proposed Beddingville conditional use permit request. And with that, I leave you with the following four alternatives and be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Did you have a bigger map that kind of shows, like, what township and anything bigger?
I can look it up real quick if any more. Anybody has more questions in the meantime?
Any other questions while he's pulling up a map?
Will you remind me, Ryan, why did we move it to a conditional use permit?
I'd be happy to answer that question. We had a variance request up in Skycrest subdivision, and there was some thought process from the Board of Adjustment at that time that we were looking at a use that has kind of evolved over time and has increased to a size away from what traditional kennels used to be when our zoning ordinance was first written. Because of that, they wanted it to be treated as a conditional use permit because there's also a lot of other similar conditional uses out there that we have. That we have changed in the past. For example, churches used to be allowed by right. We changed that because, again, a church, your traditional church back in the 1970s, has now become much bigger. Same thing with kennels. You know, we do have a lot of smaller kennels, but we still also have a few kennels where they're much larger than this one that's proposed, and we just wanted to be able to catch all of them and make sure that they have the right review and the right form of public feedback. Another issue, again, with the public feedback is if we allow them by right, there really is no way for the public to voice any concerns they may have. And this process at least gives the public some notification and an opportunity to provide feedback to the commission and the Board of Adjustment.
I noticed that as it went through the various departments in the county that there was no comments. Was there any comments from the general public? Nada?
None that we've received. The applicant stated in their application that the property owner to the north, directly to the north across 248th, is in support of their application. I believe one of the property owners is here to speak on their behalf this evening as well. So in regards to your statement about the map, I pulled it up here on our Beacon site. You can see Nevada is right there, Highway 30, and here's Colo. So you can see just down there. I don't know if you can, if you know where they have that, the DOT state has their big drop-off site for a bunch of gravel there on Highway 30 as you're going between Nevada and Colo. That's the road, 667th there. If you take that and go straight, eventually you'll run into their place. It's just about a mile south of Highway 30. Is the map making sense to at all? I look at it all the time, so sometimes when I'm showing it to other people, they don't always get where I'm showing. So I can zoom out even further. So there's a little blue spot as the subject property.
I just have a comment, about this, but just about the attachment, that there was no map or anything included, like with the agenda, with looking at it, and that would have been helpful when I was trying to figure out, because there's not an address or anything in the, at least in the.
It just described the
document.
The
describes
section.
It and describe, but it doesn't give like an actual reference location.
Talk about that at the end here.
Any other questions for staff? Okay. If a representative for the applicant would like to address the commission on this, fill in any details, that'd be great. If you wouldn't mind stepping up to the podium and giving us your name and address, please.
Notice her purse has dogs on it.
My name is Heather Bedingfield, and my address is 24541 670th Avenue. I'm the future owner, hopefully, of this business. It's been a dream of mine my whole life, and I actually work at the Ames Pet Resort right now. I've worked there for a year. Learning a lot of stuff there, and I just thought this would be something awesome that Nevada doesn't have right now, and hoping to get one started. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Any questions for the applicant?
I have one. Right now, we've got Stella, and last time we were at the vet for her annual checkup, she was telling us about this virus that's been going around, and such that it was recommended to us not to kennel her until that was totally cleared up. What steps have you?
Actually, where I work now, we hung signs everywhere. I actually personally called my vet just to see. There's been no cases around here, and even the one that was in Iowa, I guess they sent tests of that to Iowa State because they don't even think it was actually. But you know, it's just basically cleaning, keeping everything clean, sanitary, keeping your eyes on the dogs, which that's what we're doing where I work now, just watching for any symptoms. We hung up signs with the symptoms so owners can watch. We have, on a daily basis, 30 dogs for daycare where I work now, and we haven't had any problems with any dogs getting sick or anything. It's basically just owners have to really keep their eye on, you know, and make sure, because that's how it spreads, is from, you know, people bringing them in. And,
yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, we've just, all the staff, we had a meeting, all the staff have been watching every dog, and you just got to keep a close eye on them. But, yeah, I don't think there's any worry right now in Iowa. I go to Dr. Tammy in Gilbert, and that's who I, you know, keep in contact with, and she keeps saying there's nothing to worry about.
Okay.
Any other questions for the applicant? Thanks. Any member of the public that would like to speak regarding this subject, please step up to the podium and give us your name and address.
Scott Webster, 24483 670th Avenue. I am the neighbor to the north.
You're what?
I am the neighbor to the north. My father is a veterinarian, and I spent years in kennels, so I'm very familiar with everything that they're going to be doing. And I'm not afraid of this. I support this.
Great. Thank you. Any comments or questions? Thanks. Appreciate it. Commission discussion or additional questions for the staff?
Are you here for that? Okay.
If not, I'd entertain a motion. By the way, we are welcome Jerry Cable, his first meeting with us tonight. Our role tonight is to make a recommendation to the Board of Adjustment on this. So your alternatives were presented.
I move that we recommend alternative number one.
I would second that.
We have a motion by Wendt, second by Couser. Roll call vote, please.
Couser?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Smith?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Wendt?
Aye.
Cable?
Aye.
Great. Thank you. So your application moves on to the Board of Adjustment with a positive recommendation from the Planning Commission. Thanks for coming tonight. Appreciate it.
And it's not very often.
Feel free to stay as long as you like.
It's not very often you have a neighbor show up and be positive about something.
Yeah, that was
you don't know how refreshing that is. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
How much are you going to charge, by the way?
$20 a night.
Okay.
All right, the next agenda item is discussion of issues and opportunities related to the Story County C2C, Coordinated Long Range Plan.
And real quick, I believe everybody met Chris Jansen last month. He is with MSA Professionals. He is acting as a consultant for our C2C plan. With that introduction, I'm going to turn it over to him, and when you're ready to flip slides, let me know.
Okay. Thank you for having me tonight. Go ahead and flip, Charlie. Go just over a brief agenda of this item on your agenda, but I'm going to review the project schedule a little bit and just meeting information so you guys are aware where we're at in the schedule since the last time. I think, when did we have the joint meeting with the Board of Conservation?
It was April 1st, I believe, so last Monday or last month.
It's been a little while, but basically we've been moving forward. I'm going to go over just a quick tour of the project website so you guys know that. And if anybody has any questions on it or if anybody has questions for you, you can direct them to that site. Talk a little bit about where we're at with the survey, the community survey that will be going out. Then go over our issues and opportunities exercise with you folks. And then talk about the next meeting where we'll be back to talk about the C2C plan with you guys. So go ahead and flip the survey. Schedule. Basically, we're in May, still finishing some stuff from April, but we are working on survey development, planning, and zoning commission. Obviously, we're having our issues and opportunities meeting with you folks. We will be doing a community, the community task force, or the citizens task force meeting will also be coming up this month, and it's scheduled for the 14th. And then I'm working with Leanne on getting the four community meetings scheduled, which will be spaced across the county, basically, to try and do a very similar process to what we're going to be doing tonight, which I'll go over a little later. But and then we'll be developing visions and goals based, or not a vision, but vision-based goals, and working on the market analysis. analysis this month as well. So go ahead and flip. Basically, you guys have seen this stuff, but the plan goes through June of 2016. But this chart just kind of plots our course, and we're on target so far. Go ahead. Scheduled meetings. The project team meetings commenced. We have had two of those last month. They are on the second and fourth Tuesdays from 9:30 to 9:45 here in the administration building. We have call-in available, so for those project team members or anybody else who wouldn't that would want to attend that hasn't been able to, they've been able to call in to those meetings. And scheduled through February of 2016, and we have the meeting materials available either by email or they've been posted on the website as Leanne approves it, basically. And that's just the PowerPoints that the project team goes through so that all of that is basically available to the public should they have a question about it. Next meeting is May 12th, and then the Citizens Task Force kickoff meeting is scheduled for 6 p.m. on the 14th. I believe that will also be here, correct?
Yes, it would be in this room.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's our first meeting with them, so we will go over the project schedule, what their roles and responsibilities are, that kind of thing, and then also do an issues and opportunities exercise with them for that meeting. Go ahead. The COPLAN website is the c2cplan.com, fairly simple. And as you can see here, basically we set it up in kind of blog style, so whatever is the newest information is going to be right at the top, whether you're looking at it on a desktop or a laptop or on a phone or tablet. It's accessible both ways. And if you'll notice, there's a follow blog via email that's accessible through both of those avenues where you can put in an email address, and it'll basically send you an email anytime there's an update. So anytime after one of those project team meetings, we post the presentation, or the last thing I put up there was the vision document and the planning summary that Leanne had put together that she was taking around to the different cities to introduce them to this process. That's been put up there. Basically, any information regarding this plan will be put on there at some point and then categorized as either a meeting update or support materials or draft plan or any of that type of stuff. But it's working pretty well, but I encourage anyone who's interested to go ahead and sign up so that you just get that email when there is new information out there. Go ahead, sir. Any questions up to this point? Yes.
Is there a section for comments on your blog?
There is a section for comments. The way those work, they will be funneled through Leanne for approval. So that their comments can be... contact information is on there. There's also, if you were to go on the website, we've also linked it to the social media accounts for both Story County Conservation and the county. So if somebody were to, they get the county's Facebook page, the Twitter feed, the YouTube feed, and the same thing for the Story County Conservation Board. I didn't want to make it so that comments could just automatically be displayed.
Yeah,
they would have
exactly.
To have some sort of filter. And Leanne has taken on the role for the county as that kind of media relations person, or at least for this particular project. So there is a place to put comments, and they would be approved by her and then posted and available.
Good. Keep the spam away.
Just to clarify a few things, because we only meet once a month. And
okay.
So just so we don't rush over the details. So just structurally, there's the project team, which is mostly staff, correct? And I'm on that. And so you're kind of handling the – we get the project team, we get the most frequent updates.
Correct. Yeah,
right?
you're the ones that are meeting every 2 weeks to make sure that everything is on track, if there's any adjustments that need to be made. And the ones that are going to do the bulk of the review in terms of here's what we're doing, here's what's next, is this ready to go out, that kind of thing.
Oh.
For instance, the project team is reviewing the survey and has given me comments back on that to basically before that goes out and goes public, they're the ones that are saying, okay, yeah, this looks like, this will work, we want to make sure these items are included, and so forth.
And then can you describe who is on the Citizens Task Force and what their role will be?
Sure.
Do we have a representative from the Planning Commission yet, Charlie, on the Citizens Task Force?
Yes, Marvin.
Marvin,
yes.
Excellent. But I think we could just benefit from hearing a little bit about
sure.
that.
Sure. Similar role. Their anticipated meeting is about once a month, kind of depending on the schedule. There's a few months where we don't meet, or if there's other public meetings that we would anticipate that they attend those meetings. The way I see them, and Charlie, jump in here, they are representatives from different parts, different organizations around the county, different communities around the county, school districts, cities, you know, all that kind of stuff that are need to be involved in terms of kind of engagement in the plan and a review process and that kind of thing. So they'll, like the project team, go over a lot of the same materials and that type of thing, but they'll meet on a monthly basis to review those types of things. And really more, we'll engage them much more on the input side than the organizational, here's what we're doing next, that type of thing. They're not steering it like the project team is in this case, but they are definitely our go-to in terms of input back from the county as a whole, the community, if you would, of the county and all the different players, stakeholders. So that's my...
Yeah, I was going to say that the goal I think that we had with that citizen task force was to have a representative from each city on there, a representative from each school district on there, and then various stakeholder groups as well. So the Planning and Zoning Commission, the Board of Health, Conservation Board, we have Natural Resource, Development Community. We're trying to really take a broad brush to get those stakeholders out there. I think total the group's probably going to be somewhere between 30 and 40 people, and I think I'd have to count today, but I think we're a little under 30 people who have confirmed so far right now.
All those other institutions and public and quasi-public groups that further represent their own segments of the county population. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. By all means, if there's anything else, just survey development. We looked at the survey at the last meeting. It was given out, and I've been receiving comments back from the project team members on, you know, changes to the questions, that kind of thing. They'll approve a final draft of that on the 12th, next Tuesday, and then land over it, and we will put it out on SurveyMonkey and advertise that. And we'll also have print copies available at city halls across the county, so that if anyone doesn't want to fill it out online, they can just pick up a paper copy and get it back to us that way. So that's our rollout for that. And go ahead and move forward. Issues and opportunities. Any questions up to this point, other than the ones we've already covered on the survey or anything like that? Okay. Go ahead, Charlie. Topic categories we're going to discuss tonight, and I'll explain a little bit about the process and how this will actually, you guys are kind of a lead off to the Citizens Task Force and the community meetings that will be using a similar process but in a different setting. The topic categories we're going to talk about tonight are natural amenities, governance, leadership, and learning environments, economic and prosperity, and the growth-oriented and sustainable infrastructure. And those are based on the vision, this document, which some of you may have seen that Leanne's been using, the 4% of the capstone that has basically these serve as kind of the base for this planning effort in terms of how we're going to organize goals. This is the vision for the C2C project. So why are we doing this process? And not only with you guys, but with the task force and with the community groups, the process will help us formulate goals and policies for the plan, basically. We have a vision. You guys have already gone through that process, and it's in place and set. And this will basically develop goals and help us with policies on how to implement the plan to get to that vision. That's the ultimate goal here. And again, the task force and the public meetings will use a similar process, but what we do there is we have people sitting in groups or tables if possible, and we use a giant, we call it sticky wall, but it's probably about at least 30 feet long and about 12 feet high, and it's a big vinyl wall that we put up, and then we put pads of paper at each table. And when we go through this process, we basically do kind of a giant group think brainstorming activity where we say, okay, give us, you know, take 5 minutes and give us, you know, some ideas about this. And they write those on a sheet of paper, and then we start to put them up on the wall, organizing them basically by topic, by, you know, how many times we see the same thing. A lot of times, you know, you'll see the same thing come up over and over and over. So you get an idea of how important that is to that group as a whole, as they're looking at the discussion topics. The other thing that it is very beneficial for is if you have some outliers, you know, they can see by just visual recognition that while I had an opportunity to put my input in, I'm kind of an outlier on this. It wasn't a giant concern across the board. So that serves a couple different purposes. It helps us kind of get a both qualitative and quantitative read on some of the issues that are attached to these topics. But again, I didn't want to go through that with you guys tonight. I figured we'd take a little different approach and basically do the same thing. So if you can switch here. So natural amenities. We're going to go through, and basically the stuff on the left, the issues, threats, and weaknesses, is bad stuff or stuff that needs to be addressed. It's the negatives. The opportunities and strengths is the positives. And so the best way, unless there's another suggestion that I thought we can go through this real quick, is I'm just going to ask each one of you to either give me a issue, threat, or weakness, or say pass, and I will write those down, and we'll just go across, and then we'll do the same thing for opportunities and strengths, and we're going to go through all of these. Is that going to work for you guys tonight?
Hopefully. Describe the natural amenities.
Sorry?
Describe what natural amenities are.
Go back one slide. So natural amenities in this case would be natural resources. It really relates to, so in the vision circle, they're basically these four kind of tenets here, but in the vision thing is that our natural environment, protecting our resources and recreational opportunities, and the ongoing contributions of agriculture to our heritage and future, self-reliance, partnerships, strong work ethic, and economy. So it's really focused on ag and natural resources in this particular case. So, start with you, Marvin. A negative. Or pass.
Is this, I don't know if it would fall under this category or not, but I think one of the big issues that we see in the county is flood mitigation.
All right. Nancy.
I'm going to pass for now.
Okay.
Yeah, Scott. I'm going to pass.
Okay. Karen.
Water quality.
Nancy.
Losing prime farm ground to urban sprawl.
All right, Jerry.
I'm going to pass.
Okay. So, fairly easy. Again, we're going to do this multiple, you guys are the first group. We're going to do this a number of different times to get a bunch of input, basically. In these public meetings, we usually have a really good response because you have people working in groups, you know, so they basically get a speaker and nobody's put up in front of anybody. We go around and pick up the responses and put them on the wall. So I appreciate us going through this tonight, but don't worry, this is not the only stuff that's going to come out of this whole process. And when we come back to you in August, I believe is when our next meeting with PNZ is, you'll see where this is in the plan in terms of public engagement and how it builds into, here's the goals that came out of it, and here's how you can tie them back to all the public input that we got from this process. So let's go with opportunities and strengths. Marvin.
I think there's an opportunity in Story County for more camping or more, you know, overnight-type recreational areas like I'm thinking specifically like scout camps or, you know, things like that where there's places to tent camp or things overnight.
Nancy.
I think the strength is all of the bike paths we have in Story County that certainly lends itself not only to exercise and enjoying the air, but to the economic issues. Economic opportunities, the positives.
Okay. Scott.
Kind of along those lines too, the green belt, the river valleys. There's a
green belt and river valleys, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. And along the same lines, the opportunity for people to not only recreate but also build economic, you know, development off of that. Or
I was thinking more recreation.
More just a school.
Yeah.
Aaron?
Broadened interest in agriculture and new perspectives on agriculture.
I can tell you what that means. That's your individual 5-acre home farms and 10-acre home farms, small individual farmers. And
well, that would be what I think might come out of it, but I think that just generally there's just more nationally and in the state of Iowa more interest in agriculture from people who previously had been particularly interested in agriculture. And I think that lends an opportunity to hear new perspectives on agriculture.
I think Ada Hayden Park is one of the best things that happened to this county in the last decade, and I, you know, more opportunities like that would be awesome.
We've talked about the Southern Quarry already, right? As an opportunity.
Already, like, hurry up, get all that rock out, let's go.
Can I add that in, the Southern Quarry? Does it?
It's come up as a topic, a discussion topic previously, where we want to make sure that we have a plan for what to do with that site, which is similar to, I believe, it's before my time here in Iowa, but I believe it's similar to kind of what came out of the quarry and became Ada Hayden. So.
And that's the quarry at Highway 30 and Interstate 35 there on the southwest corner.
I would expect the newly improved Lakend Park and near Zeering to be
mm-hmm.
kind of one of those great things, too.
I think a lot of people here are hoping so.
Aiken's coming right along, isn't it?
All right. Jerry.
Well, Nancy kind of took mine away from me, but...
Oh, sorry.
You know, also, I'm just getting up to speed... And I don't know if more opportunity for ag-related businesses.
Okay.
Manufacturing, retail, what do you have in mind?
No, I'm thinking of industries that are supported by ag, by agriculture. We have the ethanol plants, we have the cellulose plants.
All right, flip it, Charlie. Please. All right, governance, leadership, and learning environment. Same thing. I'll start with you, Marvin.
Can you give us kind of a?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'll just take it from what you guys have already put together. When wide open and honest government, fiscal responsibility, the recognition of individual rights, taking responsibility through participation, self-reliance, involvement, and participation in decision-making and action. And then on the education part, our excellent education opportunities, cultural, social, outdoor recreation, and entertainment opportunities for all ages. So they cross over a little bit, and I think they've been narrowed down to these four, but yeah.
All right. I'm pass.
Okay. Nancy?
In terms of the governance, I am consistently pleased with our Board of Supervisors in terms of the forward thinking and actions that provide the necessary monies to take care of some of these things, not take care of, but provide for some of these other things.
Right, you skipped ahead to the positives, I think, but that's okay. You
all
got,
right.
That's fine. Hey, you're
I think positive.
That's okay. Any, I'm going to add that to the positives. Any negative at this point? If you think of one, we can cover it over the top when we get to the positives. Okay. Scott?
I have a positive. Can we? So.
All right. Well, then we can do both together in the interest of time if you guys want.
I think that's what makes sense anyway to do that. You know, we have with ISU, but also with the ISU Extension right here in the county. Other counties don't have that resource so close by anyway.
Okay.
Well, can I continue on his?
Yes.
It seems to me that our county extension has been minimized In other words, they've taken some of the capabilities and some of the opportunities away from the extension that they used to have. And I think that that it needs to be broadened again. So, I would consider that a weakness.
Okay. That the ISU extension has lost some of its capabilities?
Yeah, opportunities to be able to, for learning and leadership.
Is that the budget issue? Or?
Yeah, it was one of those, yeah. They closed some offices.
Okay.
It's been a couple of years.
Eric? This is not a criticism of current leadership, but I think it's always, there's always a threat of partisanship that is out of scale with the level of government.
Okay.
I think that's always the threat we need to watch out for. And then I think there's an opportunity in better utilizing the kind of stuff that the RC&D is doing here in Central Iowa.
The what?
The Resource Conservation and Development Organization. They do some innovative stuff, and I'm not sure it always gets the attention it deserves.
So both utilizing their ideas and promoting what they're already doing so that you catch it.
Right.
Okay. Nancy, anything? Positive or negative? Or pass?
Just that it's always, boards like this that are citizen oversight of a regulatory body, and that the public always has an opportunity to address us and always has an opportunity to be heard, that's a huge positive.
Okay. Opportunities for public involvement at many levels, especially. Okay.
Transparency.
Okay. Jerry.
I'm going to pass.
Okay. Charlie, if you could.
Can I offer another opportunity?
Absolutely.
You don't have to write it down if you don't want it. I already got my one. But
okay.
Just kind of related to what Nancy said, that I think we have a unique opportunity in serving on this board. We're often the only point of contact that somebody might have with the county. And it comes at a kind of stressful and intense time of their lives, usually, like if they're proposing a new business. Or they want to put an addition on a house or whatever type of development thing. Those are big things in people's lives, and they're coming to us to have contact. They're maybe one of their few experiences with the county over that big issue. And so it's a great opportunity for us as the Planning Commission to kind of be the face of leadership to them, to kind of represent what Story County is about.
Kind of stewards for
sure.
Yeah, I talked to this lady a little bit before anyone was in here about just what she, going through a conditional use permit. She asked, how many people are going to be at the meeting? And I said, well, it's anything like the ones, unless you're doing something really controversial, it'll be you and whoever else comes, and me because I'm already here, and all those people that sit in those chairs. But you're right, she definitely did not know what to expect, and, that you guys were gracious and, basically walked her through. And I saw that, Ryan, she had patted you on the arm afterwards, so you've been working with her for probably the last few months on this thing, or if not longer. So you're absolutely right. That is an excellent opportunity for you guys to be good stewards.
I'm going to call upon some of you younger folks. Do you have kids in school?
Mm-hmm.
Middle school, high school? What do you have?
Both. High school.
Okay. What level of civics education do they receive? Because I think that there needs to be more of an understanding of our next generation as to how the governing occurs.
You just got a threat out of her.
I would say, yeah. But I'm not sure how to write it down. It's an opportunity and a threat, but we'll say that.
I think it is an opportunity that I think my kids, I think, are getting more education through, required things through scouting than they are through public education as far as, what happens at a community level.
Where do your kids go to school?
Gilbert.
Beta. Probably more experiential things than the things
FFA
they.
Or something like yeah. That. Yeah. FFA and.
Locally at least.
Right.
CLA and.
Specific classes, U.S. Civics.
Story.
County level kind of thing.
Story County has some great FFA programs. I don't know if that.
Some what?
Some great FFA programs, and in the learning and leadership area, that's definitely a strength too. I think. So.
All right, Nancy. If I can paraphrase, I wrote down plus or minus understanding local civics and how the county government works. Would that?
And as you know, you can take that on up the road. You know, you've got county, state,
sure.
Federal. And how it all interacts, you know. How many of our kids have ever read the Bill of Rights in the Constitution? Do they have a clue? Do they have a clue that there'd be a three separate forms of government? See, because those things are so fundamental. Heck, I'm from the old school, honey, and we had all that, and we got tested on it.
Well, I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
I don't know that we can dive that close, but definitely a subject to bring up maybe with this.
It's schools.
Yeah. And in many plans that we do there in Iowa, especially because school districts are set up different in a lot of cases from city boundaries and that kind of thing, that there's not always the overlap that needs to be there between the civic process and what the school's doing.
Yeah.
And then that translates down to, talk to anybody that's in a growing area about land use planning and dealing with the school districts and how difficult that can be sometimes. So, definitely. Economy and prosperity. This would be economic opportunity for businesses, innovation, agribusiness, and technology. Basically, that's kind of the thing. So, I'll start with you, Mark.
Okay. So, a concern that I have is in the last couple of years, there's been several big bond measures with the library and Ames Public Library and with Gilbert School District that because of where we live, we're fortunate enough to be able to get to participate in both of those bonds. And my concern is long-term planning related to those kinds of financial needs, because more likely than not, before those bonds are up, there will be other needs that will piggyback on top of those. And, you know, that's a concern about basically ever increasing direct taxes for specific projects and needs. And then an opportunity is how a challenge, I guess, that we have as an opportunity is to smart management of economic growth in our cities and county. And, you know, how do we balance protecting farmland with people's desire for developed, non-urban developments and things like that. You know, we've seen two kind of big developments that we've approved in the last year or so eat up farmland that's fringe area of cities, and it's an opportunity.
Okay. Nancy.
On the strength side, with our new board of supervisors, with that 4 years? I can't remember. They started an economic development program via TIF, Tax Increment Financing,
mm-hmm.
Okay, which has allowed some economic growth and infrastructure growth in Story County, and I think that that's a very strong strength. At the same time, the issue is, and maybe it's an opportunity, is picking the next TIF projects. you know, what is appropriate to be able to spend that monies on and promote. They put it out there for people to lay out requests or development or something of that nature, and then they go through various criteria to do that. I think that we need to have more input from folks that want to have the development. Now, that can go on back into the economic development and the various EDC, Economic Development Commissions, in the various cities as they desire to bring in new businesses, whether that's manufacturing or distribution or whatever it is.
I'm going to pass.
Okay. I think there's an opportunity in Story County, at least in rural Story County, for encouraging and expanding and allowing more home businesses. And the innovation that might result. I think a constant issue is balancing the right amount of regulation with the finding the right amount of regulation to protect the public as a whole and our land versus squashing that potential innovation and growth.
That balance between regulation and, stifling and just
right.
Making sure that
we're on it.
Yeah. You have to have some regulation, but you don't want to have so much as that people are like, I'm not going to bother, because then you stifle the innovation.
Right.
Well, you always hear affordable housing is we don't have enough of that. You hear that a lot. I don't know if it's true, but you hear it a lot. And I think a strength in Story County, I love that we are culturally diverse because of Ames and well-educated.
Glad you mentioned affordable housing. It's impossible. It's impossible to reach affordable housing with regulations and codes that we have in place today.
Is that county or city? Or both?
I deal with cities. Some with county, too. I don't have as much trouble with county. But we're over-regulated. I laugh every time I hear we need affordable housing in Ames, Iowa. It's impossible. Impossible. With the roadblocks they put in front of you, I have developed land. They do everything in the world to stop you and to increase the price of building. So that's something that's a weakness. We're too regulated. Yes, we need codes. I'm all for codes. Absolutely. Without them, I've worked in towns. There's no codes, and it's a mess. But it's way overregulated. Somehow we got to get a handle on that.
How can the counties influence the city's codes?
Not at all. I can give you a prime example of that. A guy right across from my commercial property, he bought the property, and he had a customer who wanted a building. He could add a building on 65 foot by 50, was going to employ 6 people. He goes to the city. The city says, okay, you can only build an addition so much percent of what you already have, even though he had plenty of space to do it. So he submits for the square footage, which would be, it was 65 by 50. And they said, well, we meant to tell you it had to be less than that. So he says, I can build this 64-foot, 11 and 7/8 of an inch, and I'm okay? Yes, but you cannot build a 65 feet.
How dumb.
Well, that's just, anyway, I don't need to get on that, but I do think, and that ties in with prosperity also. If we can get affordable housing, but we need to look at these codes and zoning, not so much zoning, but codes and regulations, and really go through that and see how many of those are just too much of a burden or not, or unnecessary for safety or health reasons.
As you have developed in various cities, not just Ames, have you developed in Nevada, Matolo, Gilbert, any of those? So what my question is, how do the regulations and the codes
totally different? You go to Ankeny, for example. Their city staff is, what can we do to help you build this? Ames is, what can we do to stop you? I mean, they don't say that.
Yeah, sure. What about Nevada?
Ask Casey about that. Casey said that Ames is the worst city they've ever tried to build a store.
What about Nevada?
Nevada is not so bad.
I've got it down.
I shouldn't get started, I'm sorry.
go ahead and...
That's very valid.
Absolutely. I don't want to keep you guys here all night. The only question I would have is that you're talking with local regulations, not regulations that come from funding for affordable housing. Right?
Funding for, no.
Not like the HUD requirements and all that kind of stuff. You're talking about specific.
Well, yes. Well, no. I don't build affordable housing, so I don't know about the HUD requirements.
Your issue is
I'm just talking about city codes. City codes.
I just want to make sure I'm on the right page. Okay, go ahead. Oh, yep. Growth-oriented and sustainable infrastructure. So we've covered a couple of these, and that usually happens. These things kind of tend to blend a little bit, which is not a problem at all. But planned growth, the policy infrastructure, and other resources that strengthen our other strong shared values for the future. That's kind of the idea behind that. So, Marvin, any positives, negatives, or both?
I think one of the issues that we have is with the is striking that balance between growth and every time we have one of these county developments, anytime I struggle to wonder how do we protect viable farmland and allow responsible development. I don't want to stifle people's investment and economic opportunity, but at the same time, that's at the cost of, open land, farmland. So.
And it's not infinite.
Right.
I'm going to have to excuse myself. My husband's a commencement speaker tonight at DMAC.
Do you have anything to add real quick?
I don't know that I do on that one.
That's fine. Nancy?
The issues continue to be our roads and bridges.
Okay.
That is beginning to see some positive in terms of getting past some of that with the increased monies available. Okay. But we continue to struggle in the rural areas with our bridge conditions in terms of safety. And with the farm equipment now, as wide as it is, a lot of farm equipment can't get over it. So we have some weaknesses, some issues in terms of our roads and bridges to be able to attract new businesses, whether that's, like I said, manufacturing, distribution, whatever it is, because they want to have the infrastructure to be able to get their raw materials in and get their products out to market. And without that good infrastructure that says, hey, here's what we've got to offer, then it stymies that growth.
Scott? So one of the concerns that I have, and one of the reasons I'm on the board, and I'll take a little bit of a twist on the sustainable infrastructure. The county, people in the county have taken taken advantage of opportunities and built, we have wind farms and ethanol plants. And in one sense, those are sustainable, but on the other sense, there's federal monies coming in to support those. And if that federal money goes away, if somebody builds a better mousetrap and there's a better way to produce liquid fuel or electricity, that money goes away. The ethanol plant is abandoned. The wind turbines are abandoned. Then what? And what? Where's the risk in the county? And from a county backing the decommissioning funds, which we've talked about, or just from the jobs. So that's a potential weakness that we have no control over.
If the subsidies or the regulations that require a certain amount of output, or if those don't exist anymore, as naturally sustainable as those things are, they financially won't stand on their own.
Right.
And you have an issue with what happens to the people that were employed there, what happens to the property.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, there again, we've got the difference between the county and the cities. I mean, all of those.
Yeah.
DuPont.
Yeah, yeah.
Lincoln Way, Key Co-op, they're all Nevada.
Yeah.
And so we have nothing to say about it as from the county standpoint. The wind farms, yes, we do. And so we've taken the necessary steps to decommission them and take them back to farmland.
And the only thing I would add that, you guys are responsible for unincorporated areas, the county plan is still looking at all of that, all of the issues with the cities, and that's why we're involving them in the Citizens Task Force and that kind of thing. So those types of things are perfectly fine to put into this plan and this process, even though ultimately, you're right, this board is not going to be dealing with that because it's in an incorporated area. But it's good to have it down at this point because it may relate to something that some development that happens in the county 10 years from now or something to that.
Well, and as you have city meetings.
Sorry?
As you have city meetings.
Yes.
Those issues can be brought up and say, where are we, Ames?
Yep.
Where are we, Iowa State? Where are we, Nevada? Where are we, Gilbert, Maxwell, Colo?
Okay. Excellent. Aaron.
Well, so I've talked about water quality, and I've talked about an agricultural perspective that, at least in my worldview, would lead to more scattered rural development, more kind of acreage development.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also talked about regulation and how it can squash things. And so they're all kind of intersecting here where I wonder if how individual septic systems as a replacement for traditional distributed sewer systems, how well that can accommodate all those things I'd like to see happen. Without additional regulation, driving up costs, squashing innovation. So did you get all that?
No. I got the first part.
So I'm kind of speaking out of both sides of my mouth where, I think we should have more home businesses. I think we should have more scattered acreages. But I also know that water quality could be an issue, and that will require lots more septic systems.
Okay.
So how do you make all that work together?
The threat of all of those septic systems, and how do you regulate them, and how, or is there another option, is the county, is there another technology that might work?
Okay. In essence, I'm thinking just that generally, septic systems, making them work and work over time will be an issue with regard to sustainable infrastructure.
Okay.
Just opportunities, it's so obvious we forget to mention it sometimes, but we are at the intersection of a major state highway, an interstate, and a major rail line. I don't have any new nuance to add to that, only it's got to be a strength somewhere.
Yep.
From a county standpoint, we have issues with the drainage dishes. Drainage dishes?
Yeah. That's another thing, is how this lawsuit against the drainage districts in Northwest Iowa will play out.
Yeah.
Really could shake things up.
Drainage districts? Oh, So I've made a note to tie it back to actually just the threat of individual septic systems in terms of regulating and
water quality.
The impact on water quality.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
a properly installed septic system does not pollute.
Right. I don't know if it's a threat. It's an issue. It will be an ongoing issue, you know, because the only way to ensure ongoing maintenance of septic systems over time is probably with regulation.
Right.
You know,
yearly inspections instead of an inspection when it sells.
Right.
Because that's probably all that exists now. Is then when somebody goes to sell it, obviously whoever's buying it says, does the septic system work? And the home inspector looks at it, and if it doesn't, they have to go get a permit probably from the sanitation engineer, and that's all that's ever, you know, unless you're selling a property, it's probably not being checked on a normal basis. Unless
it has to be inspected by the county.
At the sale.
It has to be.
Yeah, but it's not an annual.
When you sell. No, just when you sell.
Yep. Okay. Gary?
Well, I think on the positive side, I think we have a potential workforce here in Iowa. I think our work ethics here are better than some places, a lot of places. And then, as somebody else alluded to, I think the balance of growth, if you're going to grow, you're going to have more housing. But yet we don't want to take prime farm ground. I agree with that. A lot of times the developers of homes try to get rough ground because they want rough ground. They want gullies. They want trees. That doesn't always happen, though. But there does have to be a balance there. But also people don't have to sell their farm ground. We just can't keep taking farm ground.
Unfortunately, we have city annexation going on.
Right. But you don't have to sell your ground. They can't force you to sell your ground.
No, they can just force you to pay a whole lot of tax.
For building homes, they can maybe for an easement for power or something.
Okay. That's true.
Unless there are any other comments, I very much appreciate it, and I'll leave a stack of my cards actually over here just in case if you guys have some other ones that just some of you have my contact information.
I have one more question. Going back to the surveys.
Yes.
So how are you going to publicize that this is an ongoing thing and please participate?
That is ultimately up to Leanne, but I know that she and I talked about putting notices up at city private post offices and city halls.
Okay.
And also she mentioned putting a notice in the paper at least a couple times. Probably the Tri-County Times and the Tribune. Okay. The two ones that she was looking at. And maybe some others. But I want to make sure that people know, and if there's a strategy for that, I think Leanne is the person that will be handling that. So,
is there a local access cable channel?
Yeah, Ames maybe has one, but I don't think anybody else does.
I wouldn't really rely on that to get the word out.
And I would say, you know, even though all those forms of communication are good, word of mouth is probably the best thing. So through the commission, you know, let people that you talk to know, hey,
right,
go to, you know, c2cplan.com, find the survey,
yep,
fill it out, help us out sort of thing. And it's a pretty short survey, so it shouldn't take too much of their time.
The meeting that's on the 14th at 6 for the
Task Force? Yes.
Where is that at?
That'll be here.
In this room. Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
In this room.
Because we talked about having them in different locations. I want to make sure.
Those are the actual public input meetings that we're
okay
having.
Yep.
That will be at different locations.
All right.
Yeah, the task force meeting will be a regular group. They're meeting, you know, monthly throughout the project. The public meetings, which are to follow that meeting later in May and then in probably early June, just because we have to get four of them in, will be at different points across the county. And there's open houses at the end of the process that will do the same thing. We'll have four different open houses at different areas for input. So.
So you'll just let me know.
Yeah.
Where are those four cities that you're?
We're waiting to get
that has not been decided yet.
Finalized.
I know Leanne and I had kind of a tentative plan, but she's in Knoxville or Nashville. Sorry, she's in Nashville, Tennessee right now. So when she gets back, we'll get the ground running on that. But we have not decided in particular, and we're not doing it in the quadrants. We're going to try and it's not going to be here, and here. We're doing. I think we talked about doing one in Ames, one possibly in Story City, one maybe in Huxley, and another one in Collins or Maxwell or some type of distribution where it's a little more. The hope is that people, when they go to the meetings, will see some of their neighbors, not and that they wouldn't in quadrants, but more that we get input and community input from areas that are more alike in how they operate, like because. Obviously, zeroing in Ames is going to be a big difference between what type of input we're going to get from those folks and the areas surrounding it. So that's the plan.
I know that the Nevada Police has a Facebook page,
okay.
And I think that some of the other cities do too, that they notify you about upcoming events, or, of course, the police department notifies you of any threats or whatever. That may be a point to
push out that notice for the survey and meetings.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Sorry. Next meeting, August, we'll be back. You guys will see a partial draft. I really appreciate you guys going through this with me tonight. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, next item is discussion and consideration of Planning Commission representative to the County Master Matrix review team.
Real quick, what is happening here is the county is looking at changing our review process on the Master Matrix. Over the years, it had fallen back to our department. It then moved to Environmental Health a few years ago, and we're now looking at putting a committee together similar to the interagency review committee that we have currently, where these groups from various departments will all get together and review the Master Matrix. If you're familiar with the Master Matrix process, there's a public hearing that is typically held by the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors takes that public hearing and they send a recommendation on the Master Matrix application to the DNR. And I should probably take one step back for those who don't even know what a Master Matrix is. But the Master Matrix is typically a review of confined animal feeding operations. So cattle lots, hog confinement, stuff like that have to be over a certain number of cattle, hogs, whatever the animal is. There's a threshold for each one on when it hits a Master Matrix process, and they're usually when they become somewhat large. The county is putting together this kind of staff committee, and the Board of Supervisors did want to have one citizen representation on this committee, and they asked that citizen representation to come from the Planning and Zoning Commission. So now I am turning to you as commissioners to kind of get your feedback on that and see if there's any of you who would be interested in sitting on this committee when these applications come through. To give you some history, since I've been here now for 8 years, I think we've maybe had four or five applications total. So it's not like these things happen monthly. They rarely happen yearly, but it just kind of comes in when we get the applications. And I wouldn't expect much more than, a couple at most per year. And through the meetings that we'd have on these, maybe 2 to 3 hours worth of meetings for each one at most.
You saying that would it operate somewhat like the Planning Commission does now, where the staff would provide support, they'd evaluate the proposal, score it, and everything, and
precisely,
ask a committee to comment.
The commission would be kind of almost sitting at the staff level to provide the recommendation on. So yeah, it wouldn't be. Again, it's various departments. I think there's 6 or 7 departments altogether, and then one member from the Planning and Zoning Commission. So it would be about an 8-member committee who would be reviewing these applications, scoring in those applications, and then providing a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, and then the Board of Supervisors would formulate their recommendation and pass it on to the DNR. It's a very confusing process.
Is there any training to be had for the people who are on that committee?
probably not. No, it's similar issues to what you see, you know, setbacks from to wells, setbacks from water bodies, stuff like that, that they're usually scoring on. So there's a few areas every so often when we do these that we need to get further clarification. And through this process, I think, you know, we'll figure out, hey, we're not so sure on this one. We need more clarification what the DNR is looking for. We typically get the feedback from the DNR and then share that with the group.
So are these meetings public meetings or?
They would technically be public meetings. Of course, anything that we do here in this building is technically a public meeting. However, they won't be. I don't foresee them being published, our agendas published. I guess I'm not sure exactly how that is going to happen.
It's not set up for the public to come in and give feedback or complaints or questions or whatever.
I don't think that's the intention. I'll double check on that. I don't think that's the intention, but again, through this process, if anybody from the public wanted to be there, I think they have every right to be there. I don't think that this committee is going to open a public forum, for example, to give them the opportunity to speak. It would just be more as a kind of an observatory role that the public would play if they did show.
Well, every time we've had the perspective on hog or cattle confinement, there's been neighborhood outrage.
Yeah, there usually
is. You know,
is.
So how does that play into it?
Yeah.
Well.
So you just made it harder to get a volunteer.
Yeah. I didn't want to really say it, but it is true. It's a hot topic issue, I think, in this state, and especially when you get them closer to urbanized areas, they always become somewhat controversial. So.
Can I make a recommendation then? If these are very infrequent, and there's not any specific training or anything required, do we need to have a specific designee or is
that
something?
And that was my question to the board. Their preference was yes to have one so we could have a name tied to the group. However, I would assume that if a particular application came in and this individual was not available to devote the time that we could appoint a designee, for example.
Right.
Okay,
I was just
so
thinking.
Your acreage, right? Do you live on an acreage?
No.
Huh? Farm? Oh, okay. Acreage? What do you have?
Acreage.
Okay. I recommend Nancy Kauser. That's right. I recommend Nancy Kauser because of her experience and familiarity with all of the issues that may arise.
And that's fair, and I can double check with her and see if she's willing.
What, why don't you check with her and see if she's willing and see if her the fact that the Kausers are participate in animal feeding operation, either whether she views that as an advantage or a problem.
I did have that conversation just in case this came up, and I don't think there's any concern from the Board of Supervisors in that being an issue.
Okay.
I will say that.
And if she doesn't want to do it, bring it back to us next time we meet.
Okay.
I think her experience would add a lot of credence to the whole process because her knowledge and her experience certainly exceeds any of ours. I don't consider Stella being a confinement.
She's gone at the end of the season.
My dog.
She renews, so that's the issue, but it's open up.
Charlie, do we need to appoint somebody by vote, or do we just need to find a volunteer?
Why don't we form it a motion in a second and have the current people vote on it, just so we at least have that on the record, that the recommendation is Nancy Kauser pending her
agreement.
And if we need to bring it back next month, we'll bring it back.
So I make a motion that we nominate Nancy Kauser to serve on the Master Matrix Committee, pending her agreeing to serve.
I second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
You gotta be kidding.
She's not here.
All right, then. Staff comments.
On the issue with the maps, I think one thing we can start doing is we have that SPO map that Ryan showed on the screen here before above. And Kristen, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we can just include that in the packets for now on.
Yeah, most
if that would help.
Most of the time when there's CUPs, it includes a map so that you can. Because I was, my first question when I saw that was, what is where's it at, and where is it in relation to any neighbors or relations? And if you look at what the attachment was, there wasn't. I don't remember seeing an address that I could even look up and see.
There would have been.
Just the description of the section and southeast corner of the
plot
section.
Number or something like that.
One of the things I always look for is something that Aaron brought up in terms of signatures and approvals. We had the situation with engineering not finalizing on those kinds of things, and the thought was, what if they change it? We've approved it, and they change it, and we don't know. So, you know, that's one of the things I look for in the packet.
Nine and one address helps, too, even though oftentimes it might be more than one parcel or...
Yeah, and I think, just looking at this real quick, it looks like we actually just put the staff report on there, which I think we don't normally do. We usually have the application and everything like that.
Yeah, you usually do, so...
Yeah, I think this one probably just slipped through the cracks.
That's fine.
So. Also, if you have any questions,
I just wasn't
you
sure
can call
if
us
it
or
was just,
too.
You know, new management. Yeah. And,
as Ryan said, as Ryan said, if you ever have any questions about any menu, you can feel free to call us.
All right.
I apologize for that.
No, that's fine.
I'm here to help you make an informed decision.
That's the thing. I was trying to do my homework, and I was struggling with the one question that I had. No, it's fine.
Emailed.
I knew we'd get it tonight, so it was fine. I looked at the rest of it.
That's all I have.
All right. Commission comments. Marvin.
No.
Nancy.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Oh, we got it. Any other comments? Comments?
I know it.
Do you have a second on that motion to adjourn?
Second.
We stand adjourned. Thanks, everybody.